Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight we are getting ready to zip through the four faces of man, the process of completion, and we are actually doing what I'm going to teach on tonight. Because in your individual life, you see, God is challenging you, and I want you to look at these things. Those of you that have been with us for some time on this lesson, you know those are the four faces. This is what the world sees, but you are multidimensional. You have a lion on the right, an ox on the left, and an eagle behind you. And we understand that. We know that if God gives you territory, you'll have to fight like a lion. You cannot confuse boundaries. You cannot confuse. Some people want to behave one way in a circumstance that's inappropriate. You have to know what area of your life requires what response. Some people want to be quiet in the house of worship and loud on the football field. We've got this backwards. When you come into the house of worship, you say, well, but what about other people? This is our territory. They're welcome to come in, but I belong. This is my thing. I'm not going to tailor my thing for somebody else. This is my house. This is my house. This is where Jesus and I connect. And when he wants to love on me, when he wants to swing me around, and then there are times when I want to swing him around. It's just whoever wants to get it started first. But I came here to worship him. And so when I come bringing my offering, I can't tailor my offering to suit everybody's taste. I have to bring what I have. Amen? And so he loves us back with the same response we give. In other words, if we come in quiet, he's going to treat us quiet. He is respectful. But we cannot confuse the promises of God with territory that we plow. This is your general area. When God gives you a word, you fight to keep it. And we talked about that. And I'm going to go on with that because I don't want to. We talked about what it means to serve. That if you're going to serve, you cannot be pig-headed. You have to let someone else lead, and all you do is follow their lead. That's what service is. You say, Sister Shostrand, do you do that? Well, why do you think I'm up here tonight? I'm pulling someone else's yoke under somebody else's direction. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody gets to have their head all the time. Headship is for your protection. That's why if you're going to render service, the best kind of service is when people tell you what they want and you just do it. Then everybody's grateful. Amen? You understand that concept? You do when you're an employer. I said to somebody who was an employer, I said, let me tell you how to do this. Serve the Lord like you wish your employees would serve you. That's what that does. Where you practice that, it is in your daily life, because most of us have to take direction from someone. Most of us are not the employer. We're the employee. Say, well, where am I going to learn these skills? The way you submit yourself to people in your life, the Bible tells us to submit ourselves to government. To submit ourselves, and government includes federal, state, local, community, school. See, the way you submit yourself there allows you to learn certain kinds of characteristics that are necessary. We talked about the eagle last week, about don't try to move every mountain that God brings in your life. Do you really want us to get rid of the Rockies? Do you really want the Appalachians to go? How about the Alleghenies? You know what? I love the topography of the United States because of its diversity. The mountains have a place. The plains have a place. In your life, high places and low places are necessary. It brings diversity to you, so you're not a flat line. You don't need to be the same way all the time. You need to know how to fight, you need to know how to serve, and you need to know how to soar. And so God sometimes puts you in a lonely place so he can take you to a transformation. And some people can get two-thirds of the way. They can fight, they love to worship, they've got worship down. Some people have not yet found their ground. Some people don't realize that you can do anything you want in his house. It's your place. You can sweat on it. You can run. You can stomp it. It's yours. When you start treating it like it's yours, you're going to love it. Instead of a place where you have to adapt yourself to me, you're going to recognize that we have all adapted to you, that there's something here for everybody. Say, well, I don't like to run. Don't run. Don't run. I'm going to run for you because I love it. And the risky part of it is trying to turn a corner in a stocking foot. I'm going to tell you, I'm bringing my tennis shoes. You know what? And what is it they call when they put those football players on that AstroTurf? Toe turf? Is that what they call it? When their toe gets hung up on the turf? Yes, and you nearly flip yourself end over end. I tell you, it's risky worshiping in the house of the Lord. I love every minute of it. It's just delicious. I wouldn't want to be any other place. It's fun. It's good for you. Or ball up in a knot and cry till you can't see. I love it when my contacts are all messed up. I've been told by certain people in our congregation that I won't name, would you please quit making us cry? We're sick of crying. Well, I like it all. I wouldn't want to cry all the time. I don't want to dance all the time, but I do want to cry and dance and shout and hoop and scream and sit still. I want all of it. That's mountains, valleys, plains. When God's trying to transform you, you need to identify the greatest challenge in your life. That's probably your mountain. You need to identify what you can do to overcome it. You say, well, the Lord's going to do it all for me. He already has. But he's going to let you play. It's like me putting, and I don't know if you, I think our musicians are doing a fine job. Would you clap your hands for them? They're doing a tremendous job. I love them. I'm going to say something else, too. My praise team can sing country. They can sing blues. They can sing black. They can sing white. They can sing mocha. They can sing vanilla. Let's give our choir and praise team a hand. They can do it all. They sure can. Now, they may not like it all. That'd be like saying, well, I don't like hamburgers, so when you come to my restaurant, I'm not going to serve you one. It's on the menu, but you can't have it. Well, how ignorant is that? You have to be able to serve everything everybody asks for. So that's what the Lord's doing. He's putting us in a context where we can give a little bit more. To whom much is given? See? And you got to give to get more. That's how God works. It's wonderful. Identify what you can do, and then identify what you haven't done. What have I not done? Why do I keep what didn't I do? Then identify your hindrances and eliminate them. Whatever causes you to stumble, we may never preach against it, but you are so offended every time you do it or see it or say it or hear it, then cut it out. Don't wait for me to get up here and name it, because I'm not going to do it. You just quit it. You know what you need to make your climb. Do it. Say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, here we go. This is figuring out where you are. Now, there's something in this message for everybody. And some of you don't know where you are. Some of you are on a mountain. Some of you are in wide territory. You're wide open. Some of you are in a field. You're in daily grind. God intends you to be productive wherever you are, whatever season you're in. We're in the fall season. Fall is the introduction to winter, and spring is the introduction to summer, is it not? The seasons move in and out of each other, one introducing the other and ending the other. This is the way your life is. Sometimes God's going to give you territory and you're going to have to fight. When you feel opposition coming against you, then clearly the Lord's giving you some territory. You're going to have to overcome something. You're going to have to get over the obstacle. Maybe the Lord's drawing you to a lion spirit. He wants you to get out of your skin and your comfort zone. You say, that's not me. All I can tell you is, in the culture of Jesus Christ, no personality dominates. Only worship of Him. So your personality is no reason not to explore the lion's territory. Lions are lions all the time, when they prowl and when they growl. Amen? So, I have no idea what happened there. I didn't touch a thing. Are y'all back there fiddly-deeing with my stuff? That would be yes. Okay, I'm going to let you take me right on back up to 15. Actually, it's 14, discerning where you are. So you have to figure out, where am I and why am I, you know, how come everybody else is hippie-hopping? Why am I not? Well, well, you're going to have to take a risk, sweetie. You're going to have to risk yourself a little bit. Say, what am I going to get out of it? Completion. God's trying to, he's going to risk us all. Now, look at here. If you don't, it doesn't mean you're going to bust hell wide open. It just means that you sat in the boat while Peter got out and walked on water. And some of y'all look at him and you go, boy, I tell you what, I'm glad it wasn't me. He got out there and everything, but he got to sinking. You just remember this, that when he went down, Jesus brought him up. And I have a question for you. How'd they get back to the boat? Yeah. See, that's why I'm saying. This is a surefire way. You want to try something new on in God? Go ahead. You're not going to bust hell wide open. Try. Try to fly. Try to get over. I'll tell you one thing. You know what the Lord has done for me? He's talked to me about what I talk. He said, if you're trying to get over something, then what are you talking about all week long? How negative have you been? What are you talking? Are you talking faith or are you talking feeling? If you talk how you feel, then what you're going to get is what you feel. But if you talk faith, say, well, what's talking faith? I know it's going to get better. I'm telling you, I know it's going to be. God's going to do something. God is going to do something. And the Lord hears, did somebody say, somebody's expecting me to do something? I believe I have to come down there and do something. Say, would you do that? Well, did we not say he's a friend and he said he'd never leave nor forsake us? So then he's eavesdropping on our conversations. We ought to just turn to him and say, God, you're going to do something, aren't you? I know you are. Now, if you heard your little old kid, if you walked past their room and they were playing and saying, you're going to get a new dress. It's going to be pretty and red. And if you had half a heart, a little sensitivity, and some common sense, you would know exactly what to do when a birthday rolled around. You want to see a child delight and thank you the top of the world. Are you with me? Okay. So, territory requires that you fight. I don't care whether you've never fought in your life. This isn't about your personality. It's about you learning to become something you're not. And it requires courage. You can't be afraid. If you live in fear, we need to set you free. That's your problem. You heard what Brother Joe Strand said this morning. Fear cuts off your connection to God. You got to have courage, not fear. Vigilance, that means you got to stay after it. You can't try one time and go, well, that didn't work. You got to get up and say, I'm going to try that again. I'm going to go again. Oh, did I mess up one time? Excuse me. I may mess up too, but I'm going to guarantee I'm going to get this down. Hey, I ain't stopping you, not stopping me. Look, rawr. See what I'm saying? You got to know when you feel something pushing you back and trying to run you back to your corner, you know, oh, maybe it's time to roar. Don't purr at it. Don't do that. Rawr, 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 rawr. Get out there and run if you don't feel like running. You'll feel better because you ran. You say, you're not going to keep me locked in this seat just because of blah, 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 blah. I'll get out here and dance on top of your head. I'll roll all over your face. You're not going to stop me. If I want to worship God, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to do it. See, there have been times when I'd get out just to prove that I wasn't afraid to. I said, I'll stomp that fear to the floor right now. Am I scared? I get up right now and prove myself I'm not scared. I'm going to do it. And I hear the Lord saying, come on, little girl. Come on, little girl. You want to party with me? Come on. I said, all right, come on, Big Daddy. Let's get it. The willingness to fight. Yes, there have been days I cried. I get my tail just whooped. I tell you, I'm fighting a spirit I've never fought before, and I don't know what to do with it. And the Lord starts schooling me. He lets me get a good whopping here and there, and then I start praying the right prayers. Lord, what you trying to show me? Lord, teach me the way. David said, you teach my hands to war. Yeah. Now, if God's trying to give you conquest, that means you've got territory coming. Huh. I like to be rich in real estate. If God's trying to make you productive, that means he's going to let you be productive on a daily basis. He don't want you up once a month. Hello? You cycle through a physical well-being. Every 6 months you feel good, and for the next six you down on the bottom. Hello? It ain't chemistry. It's not your personality. You're not supposed to be subject to your body, but the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're going to be productive and not a yo-yo up and down and sideways, and you're going to have some consistency. Consistency means you get up when you don't want to get up. Means you're not governed by your emotions. You just keep plowing like a dumb ox. Say, I need a better job, but I'm not going to stop the one I got now in pursuit of something I can't have. The Lord knows what I need. I'm going to keep plowing. You know what that says to God? God, you know right where I am. You're plowing with me. And when the time is right, You're going to open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. Keep sowing in your field. You know what some people do? They get aggravated, they get mad at God, and they leave the house of blessing. Now, that's the dumbest thing we could all do. Get depressed and stay home. Dumb, dumb, and dumber. Because when you stay home, you could get more depressed. If you really want to fight it, and I'm gonna give you a little hint here. When you are tired of the humdrum, see, when you're conquering, you get tired of the fight. But when you're in the field, you get tired of that yoke and that plow. It's just like the cattle were lowing, the baby awake. I can't stand the lowing, and I'm tired of plowing. So then you have to ask the Lord, show me something interesting while I'm walking. And you might kick up a pearl in the field. See, pearls are in the field. He said a man found a treasure in a field. Am I lying? What the Bible said, now who ever heard of putting a pearl in a field? You know why the Lord put that pearl in the field? Because he knew there were going to be people like you and me that were going out daily and doing. I tell you, I don't know what it's about me in the toilet. It's always me in the toilet because I hate that more than anything else. But while I'm scrubbing, a job I loathe, which is good for me, because do you know the Lord starts talking to me and telling me neat things? Folding clothes, sweeping up the floor. This is my daily yuck. And that's where I'm productive. I'm out there, and a thought will come in my mind. I say, oh, oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was pregnant with Caitlin, and I was in the guest bedroom. And I had on a Winans tape. And they're dancing in the spirit. Singing in the spirit. And I had the vacuum cleaner. Whoa, 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 whoa. And I just doing that. Oh, and there was going, oh, and I had that vacuum cleaner going. And all of a sudden, something hit me. I had to hold on to the side of the bed, hold on to my stomach. And I just got to dancing and weeping and speaking in tongues. What were you doing? I found a pearl in the field. I didn't get that out there on top of a mountain. You don't find a pearl on a mountain. You find it in your daily life. Do you have one? You can't come to church every Sunday. You can't sit and wait and not work. You know what work is for pearls. That's why we work. And we get up and work. Everybody works. I work too. I know you don't believe that. Consistency, endurance, and the willingness to serve. It's not my favorite thing to do. I had rather be on a cruise somewhere drinking hot tea and being awakened by a valet. But that ain't the way it works. Not if I'm going to be productive. My best sermons have come when I'm cleaning house. That's what I'm trying to tell you, people. It ain't pretty, but it's true. I smell like an ox. I look like an ox. Okay. Now, there are times when your daddy would declare that I am a heifer, though, I'll tell you that. High places. Well, this is when you raise up and your friends can see you're changing. And I want to tell you something about friendship. Something happens to people when you're going up and they're not. One of the last blessings, there are nine of them, the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are you when you are high enough that people start taking pot shots at you. Because what you did is you decided you were going to conquer your mountain, and they're still sitting at the foot of theirs. They have no intentions of going through the process. And when you get far enough away from them that they start shooting their mouth off about, well, I see you're trying to be all holy Joe. Where'd you get your ministry? You know who that is. I say, clearly you are up by my ear, and you're supposed to be down at my foot. Stomp! Did he say Satan is under my feet? Well, when he gets ear level, he's too high and I'm too low. Let's keep him in his place. I'm up and he's down. Amen. Ascendancy means you have to be passionate. It requires passion. You won't make that climb unless you've got a fire in your belly. A desire that is greater I can remember I wanted God to use me so bad. As a kid, my parents weren't ministers. I don't know how else to say this to you. I guess I made the Lord stop and take notice of me. I don't know if he tapped on me or if I grabbed hold of his robe and he drugged me all over the place. But I wouldn't let go of him. And there were times when I knew he was, I didn't even think that things I was doing was wrong. But if I thought for an instant that it just might keep him from using me, I can't tell you how much stuff I laid aside that nobody ever talked about. I just wanted him so much. I couldn't even express it. I just grit my teeth. And it's a good thing. I didn't have a lot of common sense. And I'd tell my daddy when I was getting ready to go on a big old long fast. And he'd say, "Now, honey, let me show you how to do this because you're going to school." Because, I mean, I was just going to flat go without it all. I was a kid and went on many seven-day fasts. Why? Something was burning in my gut. And I was different than everybody else, and I knew it, and I just could not stay down there where I just... So I just... "What are you doing?" "I'm getting ready to climb." I couldn't eat it away. I couldn't recreate it away. Turn the radio on wouldn't cut it. I'd have to get up in the middle of the night. I'd set the alarm so I'd get up in the wee hours of the morning because I wanted the Lord to remember me. I don't know if he actually gave me a mountain. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I think I just followed him around like a pest. Let's pray for Brother Rob right now. Y'all lay your hands on him. Brother Mark, lay your hands right there. Let's pray and ask the Lord to touch him in the name of Jesus. Lord, somebody get him a little glass of water. We're just going to pray that the Lord will touch him right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ushers, y'all might want to take him out here in the prayer room, minister to him, and ask the Lord to strengthen and touch him if he needs some water. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord, church. God, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing. We know that you are trying to take us up to a higher place. Touch Brother Rob's body right now in the name of Jesus. We believe you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Y'all just help him out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's raise our hands again. God, we know you are able. We ask you to take care of this situation, whatever it is. Heal this body right now, Lord, for your glory. We thank you for what you're doing in the Gastineau family. We praise you right now. We give you glory. You are wonderful and beautiful and holy. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you go up, you can't be afraid of being alone because you cannot make this climb with everybody. The Lord will wake you up in the middle of the night. Your wife won't hear it. If you are a social person, this will drive you nuts because you want everybody to feel what you feel. Go where you go. You got to roll out of that bed and go up. You got to get by yourself because solitude and passion cooperate to give you a willingness to excel. Do you know what excel means? To go beyond. And that's where the word excellence comes from. There are a lot of people, I had students in my class that would only do just what they needed to get by and then pride themselves when they did it. What they didn't realize is they were not in competition with the kid next door. They were in competition with themselves. What happened is when they only gave 50%, they never knew what they were truly capable of. That don't mean nothing to you when you're 16, but when you're 47, you'd kind of like to know what you could have done. Had you only. Had I only. This is how come I'm taking risks for Jesus Christ. I had rather people slam doors in my face and spit on me and try to live the life of an apostle than I would to sit in a pew and hear all those stories about what people did and me never sample. I'm sorry. I'm going to be a missionary right here. There are going to be miracles right here. Am I going to go through devastating times? Clearly, only people who are in trouble get miracles. But if you think I want to sit at home in my little village when there's a whole world to explore, I don't think so. Say, well, the sea, aren't you scared of the sea? I know there's all kind of stuff out there, but I'm going to do business in great waters. You're going to have to launch out at some point. When are you going to do that? You know, life is more than bungee jumping when you're 52. There's a whole world to explore in the kingdom of what God wants to do with you if you will trust Him. Passion. God, I know I have a calling. I feel it. I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to stop nagging you. I'll set aside a meal. I'll get up for prayer time. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do something. I don't know what it is you do. I know what I would do. Now, how do we change? But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. When we walk into the house of the Lord and services like this happen to us, and instead of going, when you behold it, when you behold means to maintain eye contact. It doesn't mean to withdraw as soon as the service gets hot or you start feeling uncomfortable or the word goes out and you feel like somebody's been reading your mind. It means you sit there and behold it. What happens while you're beholding? You're changing. You don't even know it. Like the Lord comes down to the service and there's a great big mirror because He can't let you see Him all at once. It blinds us all. But He puts a mirror and stands in it and lets you see a reflected image, and He catches your eye and you see things you've never seen before in the Word and in worship and in His way. And you're just mesmerized because, you see, I know that everybody here wants to be a disciple. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that you are here by divine ordination. The Lord handpicked you. You were supposed to be here. Said, well, I'm not like you, Sister Show. Good. You are supposed to be. I love you. But the same principles of change are going to happen to you as happened to me, because that's the way it is in the culture of Jesus. We all change. How do I change, Sister Show? While you're listening to the Word and you're looking, you begin to change. You walk into a glorious Sunday night service and something happens and you're right there in it. You're a little bit scared, but you're in it. You're not running. You're standing there. What's happening to me? You're changing. So let's break it down. We all. Now listen here. This is a we all change. You're part of a larger community. You are not alone. And you're not the only one going through the change. I love it when Satan tries to single out people in our congregation and tell them, there's no one here like you. You're different. You're not like these people. I could slap his face. That's how he makes you feel like you are odd or strange or you don't belong. There's not a one of you that don't belong here. There's not one person who wasn't assigned to this house. Every single one of you are necessary. We all, you are part of a big community that feels just like you do. Now, if you're getting that lonely feeling, you might have a mountain to climb. When you feel like you're part of the pride or the herd, you're a cow or you're a lion. When you're in the group, but when you get that lonely mentality, God's got a mountain for you to climb. It says, open face. Now, look at here, folks. This is where we get a little bit scared. Reveal yourself to the presence of God. No hiding or covering up. I don't care what you've been doing. I'm telling you now, you couldn't shock me with anything you told me. I have heard it all clearly. Say, disciples are messed up? Well, absolutely they're messed up. That's why the Lord puts a mirror, because He loves us. Because if you can trust Him enough to reveal yourself and stop trying to fake God out, you can fake me out all day long. I don't care. I don't need to know your business. But when you come in this house and the glory of the Lord comes down in here, you don't have to hide from Him. He ain't going to condemn you. He's not in the condemning business. Now, Satan will. And people who don't know Jesus will. I've never seen a place where a disciple picked up a stone to rock your world. I've seen Pharisees and Sadducees want to murder religious people, but true disciples of Jesus never, ever, ever, ever were about hurting people. They were about helping and healing. So when you come in here and you feel this and you feel shame or condemnation, stop right now, because that's not the Holy Ghost. If the Lord shows you an area where you go, oh, and you weep and then you feel better, then that was Jesus. But when you feel that little pinch and you go, oh, not me, no, now you done messed up there. Because God's got to let you, got to choose to go, Lord, this is what I've been doing. Lord, this is where I am. Not so he can condemn you, not so he can expose you. When Adam and Eve came to the Lord and came clean, took off the fig leaves, he gave them something warm to cover them with. God knows you need covering. You can't get up and testify everything you've ever done in your life. That would be insane. But you do have to be honest with the Lord. You can't keep running from him. Why? Because you can't change if you do. And if you're not changing, then you're in trouble, because we are all changing. And after a while, it's going to get so uncomfortable, you're not going to want to be here no more. And now that won't do. Then we're going to have to turn you over to Satan and let him tear your tail out till you want to come home. Don't make me do that. And I will. I most certainly will. Do you see the position here? Be afraid, be very afraid. He said, we all with open face behold. Well, I saw Sister something. Stop right now. Keep your eyes on who? Who is he? The Lion of Judah, the Lamb slain, and the Comforter. That's who you look at. Because we're all in the same boat you are. If you look at me, you're going to be disappointed. Well, occasionally you can look at me. I'll smile at you. But you follow me as I follow. That's who. You say, why? It's time to make that change, folks. It's time to be more than you've ever been. It's time to let the lion in. It's time to let the ox in. It's time to let the eagle fly. It's time to fight like a lion, serve like an ox, and soar like an eagle. It's time. It's past time. You can't keep being your same old self when the Holy Ghost wants to wake you up and use you to minister. Say, well, I don't know how to minister. Stay with me and I'll show you. I'm going to set you loose. I'm going to set you free to do your ministry. Now, I have to show you something. Somebody go with me to Ezekiel. And we can't put it up there. I want y'all to read with me. Well, I want you to go back to Ezekiel 1, and I want to show you what happened when all these creatures got together. Say, I'm a creature. Say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Go with me to Ezekiel, the first chapter. This is too much for me. Way too much. Look at 1, 11, 12, and 13. I'm going to tell you what the Lord's trying to do. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined, what? One to another, and two covered their bodies. So they touched, if wings represent the Spirit, they touched in the Spirit, and the Spirit covered their bodies. We're not supposed to see each other in the flesh. We're supposed to recognize each other as new creatures in Christ. Amen? I'd like Brother Craig and Sister Teresa Britton to come in here. Brother Tracy and Sister Lele, if y'all will come up here now, please. I want to show you what God's trying to do among our church. The Lord Jesus is trying to, regardless of whether you're male or female, you say, well, God, walk out over here, y'all. God's been messing in my marriage. Good. He's trying to challenge you, because this is the smallest unit. If I want to get two of you to agree, all I ought to be able to do is pick up the phone and call the Britons and say, I need y'all to pray a prayer of agreement. And they ought to have such a connection between the two of them that they can turn and face each other. And when they face one another, it's like two cherubs. They touch in the Spirit. Raise those hands up. Just like that. That's like they touch in the Spirit. And the Bible said, whether two or three of you are gathered, where am I? He said, I'm in the middle. Now let me tell you, this is what the mercy seat looks like. And what's underneath all that is all the sins of Israel. And God covered it and sat on it. So that when our church is going through something, we don't kill the people who are trying to do the covering. Craig and Teresa have got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. So when trouble comes, instead of being human and singling people out and whatever, they look at each other and say, we're going to agree on this right now. We're going to send God to do a miracle. And the instant these two precious people who've been fighting like a lion, serving like an ox, are you listening to me? When they get together and agree, the Holy Ghost says, I'm going to fill the empty space between them. And where God is where the power is. So we have this magnificent twosome. Now let's read the word. Y'all stand right there. This is going to be good. I want you to hear me. I want you go by the tape. You get this in your mind. I don't want you being ignorant of what God's trying to do in our house. Say, we want to understand. Now look what it says. They went everyone straight forward whither the Spirit was to go. They went and they turned not when they went. Verse 13. Are y'all reading with me? You can't put anything up there, can you? As for the likeness, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. There was fire where they went. There was lightning where they went. There was the voice of God and the glory of God with these critters. You say, well, what am I going to get out of it? God's going to put you in contact with people who are just like you. You're going to agree in the Spirit. That's what's been going on. When the Holy Ghost begins to move and the creature steps forward out of the Christian, hey, and suddenly you lose yourself. You're not so-and-so Smith anymore or so-and-so Jones. Suddenly the Holy Ghost has turned you into a lion or an ox or an eagle. And you turn and face somebody just like you. And then the miraculous takes place. You can't do this by yourself. God's linking us up with people like ourselves. But there were four of them. Look at that. There were four of them. That's two couples in the church in agreement with each other. And he said there was fire, lightning, the voice of God, and the glory of God. I'm telling you what God's trying to do with this church. He's taking you in your individual life to territory here. Say, where do I learn to fight? How do you worship? You say, it's not my nature. God, the best way for you to become a lion is to start worshiping God with passion and power. It'll change your persona. I'm going to have to pick on Sister Vanita. Just because. She called me several weeks ago, Brother Kelly, and she told me, before we went to Pennsylvania, she told me this on the way to Pennsylvania. The Lord woke me up and put Kelly Woolheater on my mind. She didn't even tell me his name. She said, put someone on my mind that hadn't been in church in a long time, and I tossed and turned and flipped and flopped. And she said, that's not me. She said, finally, I got up after several nights of this, and I went and looked up his phone number, and I called him. And I didn't get an answer, and I left an answer on the answering machine. Now, she's telling me this on the way to Pennsylvania. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I just feel like I have to do something. Nobody called Vanita. Nobody appointed her. Nobody. But you see, when God begins moving on you to let the creature go, you get out of your comfort zone and do things you don't ordinarily do, because it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Ghost trying to make a miracle with you. So driving down the road to Pennsylvania, we said, we agree in Jesus' name that God's going to do something. She called me up after we came back off that trip. I don't know if it was that week or the next. And she said, Sister Shostrand, I have to tell you something now. I got a phone call from Kelly. And he said the reason he didn't get in touch with me for so long is he'd accidentally deleted my number. Well, I forgot to tell that she had called again. The Holy Ghost said, call again. And she felt like, now here we go. Here comes the flesh. If you call somebody and they don't answer your call, well, I tried. Well, I tried. I'm done, Jesus. I tried Jesus and it didn't work. I tried Jesus and it failed. I tried Jesus and I couldn't. I tried Jesus. And the Lord woke her up again and said, get up and call him. She's risking herself. She, you know, I mean, yeah. It's been so long, he's not even going to remember me. And she called and he answered that time. And he said, I accidentally deleted and I couldn't find your number. I'm so glad you called. She said, I'd like to invite you to church on Sunday night. He said, I don't think I can wait that long. And he walked in on a Wednesday night and fire and lightning because somebody roared like a lion. Stand up, Kelly. Stand up. This is what agreement produces. I said this is what agreement produces. You're going to have to get out of your skin and say, I don't know how. When you get in agreement with somebody who does know how, if you want to roar like a lion, you go find you someone who knows how to fight. If you want to learn how to worship, find someone who's free. If you want to know how to serve, find someone who always gets picked on. If you want to find someone who knows how to soar, go find someone who's always talking about the Spirit and the Word and speaking things by faith, who has a good testimony, believing that even though I'm here right now, I'm getting ready to see what the Lord will do. I'm telling you, fire, lightning, the voice and the glory. Now, I don't know how to do this, but I got a visual image, and y'all are going to have to help me bring it to pass. So, I'm going to put you up here first and your wife behind you. Nope, turn this way. That's right. And you come right back here. And Laylee, you come right here. And Brother Tracy, you step up there. Now, we're going to pretend like I asked the Lord, why four? Because in the Bible it said that two or three of you agree, and then the Lord spoke to my spirit, four creatures. This is going to be good. You know what this is? This is a seat. Grab a leg. Face forward. Not my leg. Thank you, Laylee. When you begin to let God deal with your life where you are, and you start worshiping like the lion, taking territory and serving like the ox, seeing like an eagle, seeing what's in the distance, not what's right in front of you, but seeing what's in the distance. You become them creatures. Now y'all move forward. Start with your left foot. Left, right, left. Do you see what happens when unity? And the Bible said when these creatures got together, he said they didn't have to turn around to see what was behind them. They had eyes all the way around their head. There was an eagle behind each of them, an ox on each side, and a lion on each side. And what happened? The Spirit of the Lord was in the middle of them. It is the ark that you're carrying on your shoulder when you let God use you. I want y'all to march around this church with that chair. I want you to turn left and just keep going. When you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, finally he's found a priesthood that can carry the ark on their shoulders and make a difference in this house and make a difference in the people in this house and make a difference in your life and make a difference in your children's lives. Say, I can't see it. You need the eye of the eagle. You need to be able to see in the spirit what's been happening around here. This ain't just a bunch of hooping and jumping to the beat of the music. It's not music that's producing this. It's the creature inside. The night you were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, the seed of your transformation was sown in your spirit. There's a lion in you waiting to come forth. There's an ox in you waiting to come forth. There's an eagle in you waiting to soar. You're supposed to carry the presence of the Holy. The presence of the Holy. The presence of the Holy. Woo! Come on, bring that mercy seat. It goes to the front, to the back. It reaches to the highest mountain. It goes to the lowest valley. How do I know? Because somewhere on the mountain, there's one of us getting ready to fly. Because somewhere in the valley, there's one of us plowing. Because somewhere in the territory, there's one of us roaring. What am I telling you? The Ark of the Covenant has come back to the house. The glory has returned to the house. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Come on up here. Stand in front of this congregation and face them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shut up. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I want to encourage you. Say, what am I doing? What's God doing to me, Sister Shostrand? He's trying to make you a bearer of the blessing. You weren't called just to work a job. You weren't called just to fill a pew. You were called to do a great and mighty thing. That everywhere you walked, whether it was the mountain or the valley or the plains, that people would see the voice and the fire and the lightning of the presence of the Holy. I want y'all to come to the front.